Please be seated.
I did say lunch, and then we got ahead of ourselves because we have a fairly firm idea at the moment, and that's actually not to allow further evidence. If the court thinks that there is something of merit to be explored, a gap that needs to be filled, it is likely to issue an interim decision and then call for evidence. We allow your client to fill a gap, especially having heard your planner about the difficulties of that gap filling process, but if we allow HortNZ to fill a gap, well, that would be allowing every party thus far to fill gaps, because there were strengths and weaknesses in every case presented for different reasons, but that's just it. And so the answer is no, we're not going to make that direction. But if there's something of merit and something that we feel that we need to close out, it's likely to be an interim, and then we'll do so in a structured way where we can be thinking about the cases presented by everybody and whether they also fall into the have something of merit which needs to be addressed.
Yep. Yes, Your Honour.
Okay, thank you. So that answers your question. Yep. So going forward, in the minute that's yet to appear. So we're going to hopefully, if I get to it today, issue a minute about, conferencing on that schedule, and which is proceeding informally, but may yet require facilitation. And the indication is Commissioner Dunlop is available in the weeks that we are adjourned in, following this hearing, this part of the hearing. And so the minute will be to liaise with everybody. I'm looking at to liaise with everybody to see whether their witnesses are available and what are their preferred days. And, of course, one of the messages coming out of the conferencing to date is that insufficient time was allowed for that, really, to land the conferencing. Even when the court had allowed further time, parties put their witnesses on a plane and sent them home, and so they weren't available on the extra day. So we'll look to rather than allowing for extra days if required, we'll just put in a large sum of days. But the best guesses we have, it's about 3 days for what we're going to propose as an all-in conference now with technical bods and planning witnesses. 3 days to close out the schedule. It's not only questions that you all have as between the different groups, but also questions from the court, especially around that date range and around the issue of, for the RDA, what does historical data mean anyway, and how might that be tested and what sort of information might be brought to bear. So the court's got similar questions on the controlled and on the RDA which need to be addressed. Now, a question for you, Mr. Moore, and it is this, that sometimes you can use a joint witness statement to substitute for evidence where the statement is all agreed as between the parties, it is comprehensive. Now, that's not these joint witness statements, and that's a reflection of both time and, I think, complexity, and I think the effort taken to bridge quite divergent positions going into the conference. And so it's not a criticism of the product at all. That it was a very tough task, and I think the witnesses have all done very well to get where they are. But in looking at the hearing to come, and especially in the last week, can the JWS appropriately substitute as a brief of evidence if there's full agreement? Should there be, nominated witnesses to present, or do we need everybody back in? I don't expect you to answer now, but I do, but these are things we're going to have to canvas in terms of trying to manage that back-end process.
Yeah, I have turned my mind to that
back end of the hearing, just from a timing perspective about what is it we might do.
Yep.
And if all the technical witnesses and the planners are agreed, then a comprehensive statement presented perhaps by a representative planner and a representative technical person...
I certainly thought you needed two. Yeah.
..would suffice, or might suffice. Mm. The question then is, well, what happens if they don't quite get there?
Yeah.
And in that situation, I had started to contemplate some hot tubbing to tease out the differences between those holding a different position. Now, that... depending on how many people we're dealing with, that,
really different
that might be a disaster.
That could be a mayor, but in saying that, you'd need evidence, wouldn't you?
My pick is we would need, and it may well be you have two or three camps that planners are sitting in, or the groups are sitting in, there might be three different positions in terms, or three areas of disagreement, and it may well be that there needs to be evidence put up in relation to each of those three positions, and then you could hot tub representatives from those three positions potentially, or you could cross each of them individually, depending on just how narrow or how broad the differences that remain are. And it may well be, I mean, good progress was made in a short period of time, and there strikes me as being a desire to land that schedule. So the optimist in me says they might well get there, or if there are differences, they may be very small. So that was as far as my thinking had reached on that at this stage.
When you're talking about the schedule, the parameters that there are in the rules for the entry and
they're connected.
Yes. I don't think you can just refer to the schedule without thinking about all the other dimensions that relate to this schedule.
Yes, and we've been traversing those connections when we look at the matters of control and then the link to the schedule. Those matters are connected.
Yes.
The part, and I'm not yet sure where we get to with this, but by next Wednesday I will have something to say, hopefully, where there is, for example, a fundamental difference between the whether there should be a restricted discretionary activity pathway for example, the beef and lamb option, or whether there should be something done to a as a discretionary activity, which was sought by Ms. Perkins and Ms. Dicey. I don't see any benefit in conferencing on.
No, I think
that's an issue for the court.
Decisions for the court to make.
Yes.
As I said, we've pressed into those provisions where there's broad agreement, there should be a control. There should be an RDA in certain circumstances. Where there's no broad agreement, as I see, it's just a decision that needs to be made.
Yes, I agree.
And so we weren't thinking of any further directions on that. Yeah.
Okay, no, that's... I think that aligns with where
you're thinking. And then if there's merit and it's not landed, there's merit in some of the ideas but not yet satisfactorily landed, that's the interim decision with the referral back for evidence.
Yes, and that might be a tidy way to respond to what may well be legitimate issues being raised.
Okay, so that's good. So the potential is all are agreed, a comprehensive JWS with a full analysis under Section 32 would be very good. And then with a representative planner, representative technical person to present if everybody's agreed, and that seems sensible. But then if people are not agreed and there are two or more camps, then for evidence to be called, and the possibility there again is representative planner, representative technical person provides that brief, and parties can say, yes, I adopt that evidence, don't adopt that evidence. So, you know, we haven't got 10 technical bods saying the same thing. And then we can consider whether hot tubbing is going to be beneficial. But for those folk, a full worked up Section 32. Now, you will all appreciate that for the JWS to date, it's testing certain scenarios which the court is not familiar with. You know, so whatever they get to on their JWS, you shouldn't assume that the court's just going to endorse it because the court doesn't rubber stamp anything. And so there needs to be, you know, a careful explanation of where people have got to and why people have got to. And it needs not only the Section 32, but there needs to be some careful thought as to how that can be then properly demonstrated to the court. Do you need whiteboards? Do you need, how are you going to run the methodology through the scenario so that the court can see it working? You'll have to think carefully about what are the tools in the toolbox to actually carefully explain what's going on here, because we haven't had the benefit of being inside the room, you know, when all of this is being thrashed out between the witnesses.
Yeah, we'll give that some thought. I'm just thinking, in terms of, I'd be interested to see a live example tested. Let's assume the method gets landed. Well, what does it look like? Is it a coded spreadsheet in an Excel thing? We can put that up on a screen and parameters go in and we see what comes out. That'd be helpful.
And how workable and how understandable is it for applicants? Do you need a PhD to sort of even get press into that space? I think, you know, it's...
Well, Ms. Bright will have her PhD by
then.
Well,
some of them will have PhDs, but I won't. So, but it's important. You know, sometimes methodologies can be so far removed from permit holders that it almost disenfranchises people from this process.
It becomes the black box.
Yeah.
And there's the tension between the simplicity of something that you can read and you can see precisely the steps, but the answers might not be what is appropriate. And as you add layers of sophistication to get the answer closer to where it might land, the complexity increases. And there's a balance somewhere in there.
I think there is. So, so it'd be interesting to see... it would be interesting to see how the methodology is being worked, and is its inputs and are the inputs and outputs variables which are commonly understood within the primary sector, especially, but maybe also TAs and hydro. You can expect them to have ready access to experts, not necessarily the primary sector. So is it an accessible methodology? The methodology is accessible to people like me without a PhD, and to people like farmers who, whilst experts in farming systems, are not necessarily experts in this methodology. So it'd be quite interesting to see how that goes. Yeah. So that's that. So probably I'll release a minute today. I keep on saying that. I'll release a minute today.
Well, maybe not today, Judge, maybe Monday.
Oh, these have to work over the weekend. We'll see how we go. We need to signal. There has to be a minute today to signal when our intended timing is for the conference.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be helpful.
So that would be helpful. And maybe the worked up minute comes some other time. Second thing is, I need to release a minute about, I need to ask the TAs when are they coming back and what are they going to do?
That's a good question.
We'll probably just release an email direction from the registry about that today. So they're to propose directions. Court will give some thought about the general TA case, and we'll have questions, I suspect, once we've had a chance to do so, once we've had that 2-week break, and we'll probably have questions for both territorial authorities and region. Are there any other interested parties in the territorial case?
You weren't allowed. I don't think so. I think it's...
Yeah, so we need to sort of be thinking around the NPS and perhaps some directed questions into that, the two NPSs and questions into that space. But in the meantime, we'll ask TA what it is that they're going to do when they come back.
Yes, that would certainly provide some further clarity from where we are now.
So we know we need to do that. Deemed permits, we're obviously very interested in. What's your appetite, your client's appetite?
In terms of the deemed permits?
Yeah, whether there's a gap, no gap.
I might speak for myself rather than my client. It's an ongoing discussion. it strikes me that there might well be a gap in terms of the consequences of not having the priorities stay in place over the next 6-year period. There's some complexity potentially about how you get there in terms of not enshrining the priorities beyond that 6-year period. I think that issue can be addressed through drafting, but the very real risk of priorities falling away, when the priorities appear to me at least have been underpinning some of the informal or non-regulatory approaches within the community, it seems to be the driver that gets people in the room. The potential for that to fall away could create a different environment over the next 6-year period. Perhaps the second observation I'd make is that in situations where your highest priorities further down the river or stream, I foresee if that priority arrangement changes, then whoever's taking it at the top of the stream will have full access to the resource, and that will fundamentally change the flow pattern within a river.
And
without a driver to ensure that doesn't happen, there is a very real risk. So my thinking at this point is there needs to be a mechanism for them to come down somehow, but there needs to be great care as to how that occurs.
And then that is the... Okay, so the, I think you're saying that, yeah, actually, there could be a merits-based... there may be on a merits-based argument a policy to respond, and maybe not only... Yeah, and we should be responding. But creature statute, which finally expires on the 1st of October?
It is, in a sense, it's creating a new creature of statute, but it's a new creature under the Resource Management
Act. Yes.
At that point, and potentially hanging off a policy and a rule and a regional plan. But then real care needs to be exercised in terms of how Section 124 works in 6 years' time, such that priority is not then... necessarily
based on this creature.
Yes, because that was never the intention.
That's troubling.
That's something certainly exercising my mind at the moment.
So creature is, so I think you're saying in response to the court's minute, it is a creature statute, and yes, it does finally expire on the 1st of October. But nevertheless, that creature statute still, that creature still has value in terms of organising relationships and consequential flows in the river. Question is, how do we respond without a fully worked up regional plan that has minimum flows, etc., which was meant to be filling this gap? So it's a bit gappy. How do we fill the gap without actually having unintended legislative consequences? Which, you know, I'm alive to those issues. And so then the question, you know, do you do what region's done, which is, you know, have the policies with non-regulatory methods. Is that the approach? Do you have voluntary responses? Is that the approach?
Yeah, the question, and it's a live question, certainly in my mind, is policy absent a rule or the imposition of some form of condition on a permit going to be enough? And I don't know yet, and the evidence in terms of just what's going on out there, which we haven't yet heard, may inform that.
And that's why Mr. Webb's evidence today is extremely important, because it's all about relationships. But but those relationships are underpinned by a very real benefit, which is recognisable in law, but which will cease to exist.
My suspicion is that the existence of the priorities are driving the behaviour to form the groups that are forming the informal, or the dealing with the non-regulatory water sharing, for example.
So then how should I advance that? Because, you know, by the time I get lawyers in the room talking to me about deemed permits, that's actually sort of week 3 of the the Ewing to come into Dunedin. So how do you advance it? Can you advance it and with two drivers, both a planning driver, assuming there is a gap and should be it should somehow be filled, and then also looking, and then maybe with that product to be given to lawyers who can talk about, you know, the questions that I've posed in terms of creature of statute or not. Is that, you know, planners are an input to the lawyers' thinking, perhaps?
I think there ought to be, because if these things or something like them is to come down, there's going to need to be some drafting in the plan, and that's in the domain of the planners, not the lawyers, I would have thought. So there is a, and there will be planning questions in terms of how to do that.
Yeah, and I think the only concern I'd have there is for planners to think, if I say the word priorities, you know, therefore I'm creating a legal right. That might be wrong, because that's only a right which can be conferred by the Crown through its legislation.
Yes.
Or maybe they're right. I don't know. It really depends on where the council landed on that. So that's the only...
It strikes me that we need to shift away from use of the word priority, because that's the thing that will disappear. Yep. But that which the priorities do needs to be described in new words. And that is an exercise that the planners might be able to assist with. And there, if there are a few different ways that you might approach that task.
Because I issued the minute, said this is what I'm thinking about, going to be talking to hopefully a lot of farmers about this and how it works in practice, but what is the direction to come? I think I'd like you to propose that direction, having consulted with other parties in council, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, we'll put some thinking into that.
But bear in mind, we've got hardly any time now, so... because we're still pressing on with that hearing. But I can say that Commissioner Dunlop is generally available, but, you know, it's not really his availability. That's an issue. It's actually everybody else's availability.
Witnesses.
Here I see Hort New Zealand playing a very real role, and, you know, particularly given that your witness has experience of these creatures somewhere else in the country.
Can provide that example from the Hawke's Bay?
I think it's actually the example is brought into the planning conference.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's brought it into the planning conference. Yeah. And, you know, this might be to overthink it. I suppose planners might be directed to think if the benefit exists post 1 October, or if the benefit doesn't exist but a new creature needs to be created now. A regional plan creature. Should we do it on both tranches, not to close it, not presupposing what the lawyer's submissions might be?
My suspicion is the lawyers won't have finished their thinking
<anything. laughs>
time, so that's probably a sensible
way. When do you think you could get back to us in terms of draft directions, having consulted FUC?
My learned junior tells me it depends a little on the availability of others, but it strikes me that the end of next week might be a sensible period of time, because it gives us time and hearing, but also some time Thursday, Friday next week to wrangle parties for a response. So next Friday.
Good. And I must say that if you find folk are not responding to you, you're to just say, Judge, these are the people who've responded, and these are the directions. I've endeavoured to contact, blah, 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 no response. And I'll take it from there. But, you know, you mustn't beat yourself up about trying to get people on the same page, because that's my job, to get people to comply. So just file it just be frank about who's been cooperating or not cooperating. Yeah.
I'm just aware of some High Court commitments of other councils.
Yeah, I know. So that's Linda's running next week?
Days.
Okay.
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, and probably Wednesday. Yeah, but that's it.
Good. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, as soon as you start consulting, the better, I suppose, although lawyers' minds are somewhere else. You shouldn't be here.
I won't
book. You'll be
here next week.
Right, I got it.
Giles will be here next week.
Okay, yeah. All right. So we need to do something about priorities. You'll make some draft directions by next Friday. We need to get the... I will issue perhaps a shorter minute, because I have time to do that much at least, on saying heads up, the schedule conference and associated provs to happen in the 2-week break. Everybody confirm to the region that they're available and on what days, and we'll probably allow 3 days for that process, because it will be the court's questions as well as your own, as well as any outstanding area of disagreement. We'll probably do something today about the TAs, asking them to file for directions as to the as to the completion of their case and filing of supplementary legal submissions as to any matter of interpretation. And then, as I said, when we get back in our 2-week adjournment, we'll look into that TA case and probably have our own questions, which we'll ask the TAs to answer with a writer reply from Mr. DePell's maker, if he wants to go there.
Yeah. Yep. Now, just one of the points you just highlighted there was the direction in relation to the experts confirming or otherwise their availability.
Yeah.
Now, I wonder whether, just to assist with that process, you might be very direct in terms of witnesses who have unavailability, setting out their reasons as to why there is unavailability. Because we've had real trouble with that, and the excuses given, other than I'm in a higher court or a different environment court case, we get a wide range of... sometimes we get nothing other than I can only do one day. So.
Yeah. And look, people should know better. Okay.
They should, but
okay, so
help.
Assuming that they do know better and nevertheless behaving like this, what direction do you want me to ask?
That they confirm their availability and that they provide a reason as to any unavailability, and noting the overriding duties to the court in terms of their availability to court processes, or something along those lines might give them a nudge.
Okay, good. I shall do that. Okay, anything else that I need to do? Anything else that we've got in play?
Yesterday I sought leave to question the lay witnesses in relation to, and you will have seen some of the questions I've been putting. I'm minded to continue putting those types of questions, and I wonder whether to make sure there are no surprises to those witnesses to come, I might file a formal notice in relation to that.
That would be good. And you might note also it comes out of the court's interest in the operation of deemed permits, because if we're asking questions, it's absolutely and entirely appropriate that you ask questions. Yeah.
Yes.
So you might want to note that as well.
I might note that. And I might... the irrigation area is the other sort of topic that I've been exploring a little.
And I understand why. You can note that. Yeah, that seems sensible, just to file a memo. And when do you think you'll have that in by?
By Monday, I'm reliably informed.
Cool. So file a memo seeking leave. Okay, and on that basis, I would grant it, yeah.
Okay.
Now, there was something else. Forgotten. What else? There was something else, and I've totally forgotten. There was something else that I thought of. Pardon?
Ms. Mallop reminds me that we're providing this copy of the Smallburn consent.
Yeah.
So
you want to cover that off in the memo? So we don't have multiple memos.
So
and further to the court's direction, here is a copy of the small boon consent and confirm whether or not that, I think either the application sought to give recognition to existing rights or priorities, whether the decision recognised those rights or priorities, or whether priorities have ceased and now have been taken over by other more other RMA tools, which we're more familiar with.
And presumably there'll be some conditions to that effect if that's happened, so we'll highlight those.
So I'd really like to know what happened there. So small burn, so if you deal with it in the same memo, that
so this
good.
Is in the memorandum seeking leave?
So it has two parts, so I don't have multiple memos coming in.
Yeah, no, that should be fine.
There was something else I needed.
Well, Mr. Moore's going to report back on Wednesday in relation to what technical experts
are. Yeah, but he knows he has to do that.
So he's still going to be doing that on Wednesday.
Yep. Yeah. Let me just see if there's anything else in my notes.
Sorry, that was the only other thing.
No, there was. I have it back in my mind. There's something else I needed to ask you to do.
There is a memo that you'll see at 3 o'clock today or shortly before in relation to whether discharges are included within deemed permits and thus captured by the plan change.
Yeah.
So that that's nearly ready.
That's a memo? Okay. Yes. And then the only other thing I've got to do is granting leave in relation to Dr. Crystal's supplementary evidence, and I'll grant it, and I just need to record that in a minute, I suppose. Granted, Crystal. Okay. All right. If I think of the thing that other thing that I thought needed to be addressed, I'll obviously let you know in a minute. Yeah.
Very good.
Very good. So we're adjourned on that basis.
Your Honour, pleases.
All right. Thank you. Is there anything else arising, or are you all happy with that? Very good.
No,
there is.
One comment, Your Honour. With the seeking leave to cross-examine some of the lay witnesses. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're across it, but it might just be worth making sure that they know what their obligations are under oath and what they can and what their obligations are for the information that they provide. Obviously, all true, but within the confines of potential commercial issues there.
Oh, I see. You mean in terms of any questions Mr. Moore might ask? Or?
Yes, and commercial sensitivity, because they are all farmers competing for the same stuff.
Competitive farmers, I see what you mean.
So maybe just making a note of what their obligations are, and if there is something that is commercially sensitive, that they that works.
I don't know. I mean, my feeling is just to let's see how it runs. I mean, speaking for myself, I was quite interested in the question of what date do you enter into a contract, even if it's a just a verbal purchase, when was the deposit paid, blah-de-da-da-da, because that all goes to creating the exception, whether the exception should be recognised because the engagement was prior to the notification, or if it was post-notification and in fact, the farm was on risk. So, you know, so I was interested in that line of questioning for that thinking. Yeah.
My thinking is in terms of the licensing and...
Licensing?
Yes, and the particular types of fruit in the questioning of Mr. Webb. There was some commercial sensitivity there, as I was informed of afterwards, and I wasn't aware of the commercial sensitivity of it, and so I just want to make sure that no other farmers...
Okay, it's lost on me as well. I don't know why that would be sensitive.
Just with the terms of those contracts might not be as favourable for other...
You mean in terms of you can pay your deposit after the tree buds?
No, my understanding is in terms of the repayments.
Oh, the repayment schedule.
And that kind of thing. I understood from Mr. Webb he wasn't sure whether or not he could not answer
because
of the oath.
And
so just flagging that as a potential... issue going forward with lay witnesses.
I don't know. I don't know how you want me to cover that off.
Yeah, I think maybe it could just be... I don't have a solution in mind. I just want to...
You flagged it to Mr. Moore that, you know, he needs to be careful of pressing into commercially sensitive information. I don't actually think that was his intention.
No, I think that was my mistake. Sorry, Your Honour. So, yes, just flagging it as a potential to be aware of.
It's a fair point. I was quite careful this morning with what I didn't ask that I might otherwise have wanted to ask in terms of how much money was paid for deposits, how much has been paid for irrigation, and I'm not minded to go there. I'm more interested in the when a record might have been created prior to Plan Change 7. And
so it's whether you're on or off risk, that's really what the question is. Trying to carve out, is there a true exception or not?
Yes.
So I'm just flagging my mistake, I guess.
That's okay. I understand that. And actually, for the same reason, didn't ask anything about the value of the contract, value of the deposit. That would be a hopeless area to get into in terms of looking at policy. It just would. And, I understand that. Understand what the issue is. It's been court was alert to it. Mr. Moore is alert to it. I'm probably not going to say anything because that might get people overthinking or overthinking their evidence. We don't want them to do that either.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. And we're adjourned.
Please all stand.